Welcome to You Are What You Love, your window into the future of spirituality. We're going to talk to you about your life and the evolution of your soul while we bring alive the essence of eternal truth. So here is your host, the author of You Are What You Love, Vaishali.
And welcome to another exciting episode of You Are What You Love. And I'm Vaishali, the wild child of the airwaves, the spiritual hostess with the wild woman mostess, the beyond karma queen of radio and literature. And as you know, I'm also the author of the book, You Are What You Love, and the soon-to-be-released Wisdom Rising. I want to invite you to my website, purple, because I got a thing for that color. Purple V, V is in violet, V is in Vaishali, purplev.com. You can learn more about my books. You can learn about more about my personal events. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to the show and you are in the Seattle area, I'm going to be in your backyard next week. I'm going to be at Third Place Books on Thursday, the 7th of August, and then I'll be speaking at the Swedenborg Church on Sunday, the 10th. And all you've got to do is go to Purple V. V is in vivacious, purplev.com. Click on events and then all things Vaishali. It'll bring you up a month at a glance calendar. You click on the 7th, click on the 10th, and it'll bring up any details that you have. And should you have any questions, you're always welcome to email me, V as in Vaishali, V at purplev.com, and I will be more than happy to answer any of your questions about these events. You can also email me if you would like to get on my email list. Once a week, I send you out a fabulous purple email with my smiling face, letting you know about all the different events and radio shows that I'm doing. And any radio show that I'm doing that's on the internet, that URL will be embedded in the email. So all you have to do is get the email, and from there, you can click on the email and maneuver to all things Vaishali. And I want to let you know that I'm opening up the phone lines this evening. If you have a question you'd like to ask me, I'm a spiritual teacher. I'm able to read people's interior. I can tell you where you're sabotaging your life, where it is you're sabotaging your personal growth, what your life purpose is. I can ask questions that you might have of a spiritual nature. That's why I'm here, to be of service. So if you've got a question that you would like to ask the wild woman, feel free to pick up that phone and dial toll free 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline to talk to Vaishali, the spiritual wild child this evening, would be 877-520-1150. And I thought it might be interesting to start out today's show with a theme, with an idea. And today's idea that I want to put out on our ethereal radio table is not a simple one. It's one that has been around for as long as there have been people to pick up spiritual ideas and contemplate them. It's one that's been greatly and grossly misunderstood. I spend a lot of time in my book, You Are What You Love and Wisdom Rising, talking about this concept and breaking it down to a practical application so it can have relative meaning in your life, because the concept I'd like to put out today, the idea to begin our sharing, is the idea of surrender. And surrender is an idea that really has not been understood with a lot of general or mainstream valuing. For us in today's world, when we think of the word surrender or the connotations around surrender, we think of losing. We think of less than. We think of ending up on the short end of the stick. We think of having to be in a position where we must surrender as the worst possible advantageous position to be in. It's something we resist, something we try to avoid, when the truth of the matter is that surrender is a profound spiritual state and action of spiritual maturity. What do I mean by that? When we are on the planet Earth, when we come to the planet Earth, we have two forms of consciousness at play. We have our divine form of consciousness, which is love. And actually, we don't have it. We are it. We are divine love. And that's our primary and senior force of consciousness that we bring to us when we come to the planet and we take it with us when we leave. And when we come to the planet Earth, we inherit a secondary form of consciousness. It's a limited form of consciousness. I call it a teeny tiny form of consciousness for solving teeny tiny problems in the temporal world. And that form of consciousness, in our vernacular, is recognized as the ego. And the idea is that when we come to the Earth, we need to know when our ego is to be applied to a problem and when our divinity, our spiritual identity, is to be applied to a problem. And you can't surrender when you're coming from your ego, because your ego is projecting a filter. It's putting out a story. It has an agenda. And when you choose to posture yourself from surrendering, what you're simply saying is, I'm allowing my spiritual identity to dictate the quality and the meaning of this moment, and I'm surrendering my interpretation of it, I'm surrendering my agenda, I'm surrendering my ego's tyranny, and I'm allowing this present moment to guide me. I'm allowing this present moment to give me the gift that I came to the planet Earth to get. When we engage in surrender, what we're doing is we're saying to our divinity, I trust that you are the most profound power on this planet. I trust that you have my best intentions, and I trust that you know what you're doing, and that everything that is happening has a meaning and a purpose for me, and I'm aligned with receiving that greater meaning and that greater purpose. So let's take a moment and value surrender in our life, and value that it brings a quality of intelligence that if our ego could help us with, it would have by now. It supersedes the ego. Next time you think of surrender, I want you to go ahead and let go of that image of the white flag waving that says that you are beaten, that you are lost, that you are less than. And I want you to consider that surrender simply means I'm going to allow my spiritual identity to guide this moment and to take me to a place where my potential is self-actualized, and I'm disengaging the ego from determining what this moment means in my life. This moment of surrender was brought to you by Vaishali, the spiritual teacher and author of You Are What You Love. And again, if you have a question you would like to ask the spiritual wild child, you're welcome to call me at 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline is 877-520-1150. And I see by my psychic connection to the goddesses in the studio that we have a caller. We have Rachel from Covina on. Rachel, would you, can we bring Rachel on?
Yes, I'm here.
Rachel, you know what's really actually fascinating, sweetheart, is I was raised in West Covina.
Oh, you are.
Yeah, but I'm a nice person anyway. That was a long time ago. It's one of my favorite jokes. Anyway, sweetheart, what is in your heart? What can I do for you this evening?
I'd like to know how my health, how you see my health in the future.
How I see your health in the future?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One of the things I'd like to put out there, Rachel, is although I do reading of people's spiritual energy, how it's organized, how you're making use of it or how you are not making use of it, I only read the present moment. I do not read future-based events. So okay. What I can do is I can read what I'm getting about your health in this moment.
Okay.
And we've also got the Empress in the chat room, so I'm going to invite the Empress. She's a good friend of mine. Her name is Julia Cole, and her website is Namaste Beloved, N-A-M-A-S-T-E, Beloved. And she is one of the most profound psychic mediums who actually does read future-based moments. So I'm going to invite her to go ahead and post whatever she's getting about your health in the chat room, and I'll go ahead and read that to you, Rachel. But what I can do is I can tell you what spiritual issues that I'm getting right now about how your health is organized. Again, I'm not a medical practitioner. I'm not a medical intuitive. I don't offer medical or legal advice. I'm not hanging out my shingle to be interpreted in that way. I'm a spiritual teacher, and I can tell you how your spiritual identity is organized and the psycho-spiritual issues that affect your health. And the first thing that I want to say, Rachel, is I refer to my body as the rent-a-car. because I brought my consciousness with me when I came to the planet, and that's what I'm here to develop, and that's what I'm here to learn from and explore and to grow and to expand. And when I leave this planet, that's what I'm going to take with me, is consciousness. And when I come to the planet Earth, I take this body, or what I call a rent-a-car, because it helps me maneuver through the physical world and get the lessons that I need. But when it comes time for the end of my life, I'm going to return the rent-a-car back to the distributor because I don't need it anymore. I'm ready for another journey. And what I want to tell you is that our bodies are neutral. Our bodies are a neutral form of intelligence because in the same way that your rent-a-car is neutral, it's the driver that determines the acceleration, the deceleration. It determines the direction. It determines whether it's going to go on a freeway, whether it's going to go on a side street, whether it's going to sit in the driveway, whether it's going to get a tune-up, whether it's not. The driver is the consciousness that maneuvers everything. So in the same way that your car is organized according to the driver, your body is also listening to the cues that your consciousness gives it. I think the person who said it best was Deepak Chopra when he wrote that our body eavesdrops in on our mind to see what our mind is thinking about it, because the body is neutral and it then organizes itself around that. And our bodies are giving us the results that it's under the impression that we want, according to what it's eavesdropping in on our mind. So our body is here designed to reflect back to us this one thing, this spiritual law. You are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. If I could distill, Rachel, all of the spiritual wisdom from the Bible to the Hermetic to the Tao Te Ching to the Dhammapada, if I could distill all the great spiritual wisdoms down to one sentence, it would be this: you are what you love, and you love whatever you're giving your attention to. The whole planet Earth is designed for this one thing, to wake us up to what we're giving our attention to, because our attention and our divinity are inseparable. So when we give our attention to something, we're focusing our divinity in that direction. And there's nothing more powerful than when we give our divinity to something. And the first thing that I want to say is, like the woman caller on the show just before mine, I've also studied Ayurveda. As a matter of fact, my name, Vaishali, was given to me by an Ayurvedic teacher that Deepak Chopra has called a modern-day enlightened being. And the first thing that I picked up on you, Rachel, is that Ayurveda defines body types. And they look at body types very different from the way Western people do. They look at it from qualitative, hot, cold, wet, dry, damp, and not from blood type or height or weight, which is how the Western model has a tendency to look at things. And let me tell you the first thing, honey, with, and I mean every pun intended, you run hot, girlfriend. You're a hot girl. And what that tells me is that you have a tendency to be in your head a lot, and you have a tendency to be fastidious in how you organize things, that things need to be organized, and that you have a very strong way of feeling that things need to happen or be organized in a certain fashion, and that when things happen and are organized in a certain fashion, you're in your comfort zone. There are some people that could walk into a room and have it be totally chaotic and be totally relaxed, and it wouldn't faze them at all. That wouldn't be Rachel. Rachel prefers it when things are clear, when they're organized, because our mental body wants everything in its place. And there are organs in our body that actually run hotter or colder or wetter or drier. And the two organs that are most affected by someone with your particular proclivity is the heart and the liver. And I want to break this down. I'm going to start here with what our Empress friend is saying, because I'm also seeing this that there's some stress in the liver from an energetic point of view. And the Empress has got some very fabulous, straightforward kind of advice. And the first one is to chew your food well. To take your time and really chew it well. You'd be amazed how many people don't masticate their food appropriately, and their body has to work so much harder to break down these chunks, because you're only going to absorb the nutrients from the surface area. So the bigger chunks, the less nutrients you absorb. So the more that you masticate your food and the more that you break it down and the more surface area you have, the more your body can extract it, and it's easier for your internal organs to do the post-digestion part of the program of breaking the food down and pulling from it what they need. So she's suggesting that you slow down. And why slowing down is important is because when you eat and you're in your head, you're thinking about a lot of different things when you eat. And that causes you to not pay attention to whether you're chewing your food properly, to whether you're enjoying it. Because your body needs for you to enjoy the food. There's actual digestive value in your enjoying your food. And the liver in Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine is often referred to as the general, because it organizes the energy in the body, and it determines what energy goes to other parts of your body, in the same way that a general would determine what troops go where and how the resources are distributed. So we want to keep the general healthy and happy. The liver, by the way, is the only organ in your body that will regenerate. You could go into surgery and have 80% of your liver surgically removed, and that liver would grow back. So anything that's associated with growing back, your hair, your fingernails, if you miscarry, you can grow back that child. Anything that grows back is associated with liver energy, because liver energy is regenerative. And the thing about the liver is that, oh, the Empress wants you to know also that you drive too fast, and that's actually an issue with the heart that I'm going to get to in a moment. The other thing that I want to let you know is that the liver has to do with our mind, with our attention, with our brain. It has a very intimate and interesting connection to our brain from an Eastern point of view. And this is one of the things I go in great detail in my book about, sweetheart, and that is that we've got two forms of consciousness, as I talked about at the beginning of the show. One is our ego, and the other is our spiritual identity. And our spiritual identity is for answering and understanding questions like, who am I? Why am I here? What's the meaning and purpose of my life? What's my value? What's my power? What's my worth? The ego cannot answer any of those questions. The ego is not designed to answer those questions. That's why it cannot. When we are coming from our ego, instead of from our spiritual identity, when we're solving questions that can only be resolved by our spiritual identity, it stresses the liver. Because the liver then is required to do things it's not designed to do. Our spiritual identity is designed to do it. So one of the things that I want to stress to you is that the world will not fall off its axis if your frontal lobe isn't determining everything in your life. There's actually a higher, greater form of intelligence that would like to talk to you. If you would take the risk of letting your frontal lobe not dictate what every single moment of your life means, if you'll allow your spiritual identity to tell you that your value and your power and your worth is that you are divine love, and no one and no thing can change that, and everything here is designed to work for you. The other thing I want to get to, sweetheart, is the heart. The heart is considered the most fiery of all the organs in the body. And one of the things that Chinese and Ayurvedic medicine talk about that's very interesting that Western medicine does not talk about is that our organs digest our emotions. Isn't that fascinating? That our emotions travel through our GI tract in the identical fashion that our food does. Why? Because our emotions are a form of food. And what our heart has to digest is patience or impatience. And this is what's going back to the Empress's comment in the chat room that you have a tendency to drive too fast. When we're, she calls you a fast track woman. When we're in our head, our intellect moves at the speed of thought, and that is faster than the speed of light. And when we're in our head and we're moving at the speed of thought, our body has a tendency to try and follow and track that pace. So wherever our attention goes is where our energy goes. So when we are in our head and we're thinking about a lot of things, we have a tendency to drive quickly because everything about our energy is keeping up with that track. It's keeping up with that fast pace, with that speed of thought. And when you're giving your attention to things that make you impatient, and let's face it, girlfriend, there are few things on this planet that will provoke impatience more than the traffic in Southern California. If you can live down there and get on those highways day in and day out and not let impatience take you out, you have truly reached enlightenment, because that is absolutely the unconditional Buddha test, is driving in Southern California and not letting that situation tell you you don't have enough time. You're not going to make it. You don't have enough opportunity to make this exit, to get into that lane. Anytime we're giving our attention to impatience, we're invoking the spirit of scarcity, of not enough, because all impatient emotions is built on the thought that you don't have enough time, you don't have enough money, you don't have enough opportunity, you don't have enough whatever the story is. And impatience is very hard on the heart. It's the equivalent of to reaching into your heart, into your chest, and pulling your heart out and drop kicking it across the room. And if most people understood that when they allow their emotions to take them to an impatient place, they are actually physically abusing their heart, they would stop and ask themselves, is this really worth getting my blood boiled up over? Is this really worth kicking my heart across the room? And of course, for most of us, 99.9% of the time, we would say, no, it's not worth it. I can relax and I can just deal with the situation rather than get into a situation where I'm energetically attacking my health. So what I would suggest to you, girlfriend, is this, and that is, let your heart, your understanding of your identity's value, power, and worth, that you are a force of love right now, and that everything on this planet is created for one reason, and one reason only, and that's to work for your growth. And if it doesn't work for your growth, it wouldn't be allowed to touch your life. So when your mind starts saying, this has got the better part of me, I can't do this, stop and stand back and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. I'm divine love here. Of course it works for me. I will not abandon my divinity because the temporal world is performing some stupid human trick and doing some idiotic gyration in front of me. I can own my divinity, remember that this works for me, and allow my spiritual identity to help me navigate this moment. And drop down into your heart and let your mind take a rest. If you are trying to balance your checkbook, if you're trying to figure out what to wear, let your intellect tell you how to solve small problems in the temporal world. But when you're solving a bigger relationship question, your relationship with yourself, with the present moment, with abundance, with your coworker, with your family, with your intimate partner, that's when your spiritual identity is designed to solve the problems. And when you find that your blood is boiling, it's nature's way of saying you're using the wrong form of intelligence here. And next time the world wants to bait you and goat you into going to an impatient place, I want you to take a deep breath. Breathing is how we digest emotions. Take a deep breath. Feel your feet on the planet Earth. That's how you ground yourself. And say, wait a minute, I'm going to let go of the habit of beating up my internal organs by going to the knee-jerk response of being impatient. And I'm going to claim that I have the wisdom, I have the time, I have the energy, I have the wisdom to do whatever I need to here to come to an outcome that is most enhancing and most actualizing for me. And I will not buy into being goaded into beating up my heart, stressing out my energetic system by going to an impatient result, which, let me ask you something, sweetheart, in all of your life, has getting impatient ever solved a single problem?
No, I don't think I'm impatient at all.
So you never tell yourself, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money.
Well, yeah, there's times, you know, times where, yeah, there's a lot of times I say I don't have enough money, but...
That's impatient. That's impatient. That's not accepting that you have all the abundance that you need right now. That's a story that your monetary situation, that somehow your situation, your life needs to look differently than it is. When we're patient, we accept that our life looks exactly the way it needs to right now, and it's perfect. Impatience can camouflage itself in a lot of ways. It doesn't have to mean that you're going postal on the guy in front of you that's got 10, 15 items in the 10 or less lane. It comes in any dialogue where you're telling yourself you don't have enough. It's insidious, girlfriend. It's insidious. But what I would suggest, sweetheart, energetically, is for you to really, literally chill out and to relax and to start seeing life from this filter. What else can go right for me today instead of what else can go wrong? And start trusting in your heart and trusting that you are a force of love. And that force of love has the wisdom that it needs to resolve your problems. Because that's what I'm getting energetically would be most use for you on a spiritual level.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you, girlfriend?
Yeah, it does.
Excellent.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, rock on, girlfriend, and I don't mean that literally. No platonic activity. You guys went kind of overboard with my telling you to rock out this week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rachel.
Bye-bye.
I want to remind you all that you are listening to You Are What You Love, and I'm Wishali, the spiritual wild child of the airwaves, the author of You Are What You Love, and the soon-to-be-released Wisdom Rising. My website is purplev.com, and I want to invite you there. V as in violet, V as in vivacious, purplev.com. I'm going to be in the Seattle area next week, and you can learn more about that by going to my website. You can learn more about my books by going to my website. You can email me, V as in violet, V as in Wishali, V at Purple V from my website, and I will put you on my mailing list that lets you know about the different radio shows that I'm doing and personal events. And if you have a question that you would like to ask the Wild Woman and or the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe who has joined me in the chat room, you're welcome to do that at 877-520-1150. Again, the hotline here to the Wild Woman is 877-520-1150. And if you would like to join us in the chat room, you are absolutely more than welcome to do that. You would go to my website, Purple V. V is in violet, V is in Wishali, purplev.com. And in the lower right-hand corner, you'll notice a little box that says VChat. Click on VChat, sign in, register, and join us in the chat room. And we would love to see you. You're welcome to contribute to the chat room and join the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. She's there with us. And I believe our next caller is James from Fullerton. So why don't we bring James on? James, are you there, sweetheart?
Yes, I am, dear. I haven't heard even of you before, much less you yourself on the radio. I'm enjoying it very much. I don't know how long you've been on this station and this time. Is this the regular show you have?
This is the same bad time, same bad channel, wild man. You betcha. Oh,
how long has it been on?
I just started in April, sweetheart.
Oh, okay. And so can I tune in every Saturday? At what time? I don't even know what time you started. I was just actually going through the stations, and you came on, and I heard enlightenment, which is a key word, and I started listening.
Wise man that you are. I'm on from 5
what
to
time?
6.
What, 5 to 6? Okay, very good.
And I also have a Friday show, and you can learn more about that by going to my website or email me, sweetheart, and I'll put you on the mailing list.
Okay.
So you had a question, sweetheart?
Yeah, I have kind of general, a little bit of indecision as to how to proceed. Suffice it to say, I'm not a youngster at this point, and I've been pretty clear in my life about who I am, but the part that doesn't fit is my context in this society, which I happen to view as being run on less than spiritual principles, if you will. So I don't know how to make that work for myself at this point. Not that I ever did, but, you know, now it's starting to kind of wear on me because I'm getting a little older, and I don't exactly know what the right thing to do is in it, and, you know, to be true to myself and also to, you know, earn a sufficient living without compromising my integrity in a certain way. So I don't know if that makes any sense. And then I have a general question. Some of what's manifesting in the body now is high blood pressure to a kind of little bit of scary degree where I might need to get medication, but we're not sure yet. And I might also have a little bit of a thyroid condition developing. I'm feeling kind of a lot of heat in the extremities and a little pressure in the face and head behind the eyes. I've recently been to the doctor regarding that, and the opinion there was that it might possibly be thyroid. They took a blood test, but I have not gotten results as yet. So that's sort of my two-pronged question to you. Thank you.
Okay, sweetheart. The first thing, and I'm inviting Julia Cole, the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe, that's joining us in the chat room, to feel free
that.
To...
I won't be able to view that, though.
That's fine.
I'm not at a computer right now.
I'll share it with you, James.
Thank you very much.
The first thing that I want to let you know, sweetheart, is that Ayurveda, the Eastern Indian system of self-healing, has some very interesting things to say about glands and our body.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that they want us to know is that they're not what allopathic medicine defines them as.
Mm-hmm.
And by allopathic medicine, of course, I mean traditional Western medicine.
Right.
Because traditional Western medicine has taken the spirituality out of our human experience. And they come from a mechanistic model that all
yep.
bodies are basically mechanisms,
yep.
and they're all basically the same.
Yes.
And Eastern forms of self-healing are actually deeply offended by that model and say that you are a universe unto yourself, James, my
right.
love.
Right. I have in the past encountered you know, the idea that there's a correlation between the glandular system and the chakra system. Do you subscribe to that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And our glands... particularly like the pituitary and the thyroid,
mm-hmm.
are spiritual doorways.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that they are so small is that they're profound gateways to the spiritual realm. Therefore, they don't need to be large, because energetically, they don't... This is one of the few times that size doesn't matter. Sometimes it does in your bank account, it does when you're dating, but this is one of the few times that it doesn't. And when there's something stressing your relationship with your divinity, you're going to find, from an Ayurvedic and Chinese medicine point of view, that oftentimes there is a glandular response.
Mm-hmm.
Because
it makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, I'm aware of that as being true in myself, you know, thus far anyway. Yeah.
The Empress brought up a really interesting point, which dovetails into what I'm getting. She's saying that the reason that you're having challenges with your blood pressure is, what she's saying is, that your heart chakra is slowed down, and she's
mm-hmm.
suggesting that you get that sucker cleared out. Those are her exact words, getting that sucker cleared out. She wanted you to know that what you're doing with your attention is literally scaring yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That you're giving your attention to things that are scaring yourself. And she wants me to... She's got this in big letters, and it's underlined. Oh, he is good with his hands. Did I mention he's good with his hands? So I hope you're married, sweetheart, because there would be somebody who would be benefiting from that. But when we're talking about our heart chakra, sweetheart... One of the interesting things about our organs and our chakras is that they respond to our consciousness. And our heart chakra is right in the middle of our chest, and it is considered to be the fourth chakra. And it balances the three chakras above and the three chakras below. It's the balancing point. And it's considered to be a chakra that is associated with a green light. And when you visualize a green light in your chest and you talk to your chakra and say, I need for you to spin at a rate that balances you with prime source, then it's not running on your conscious or unconscious issues. It's not running on the internal dialogue that you tell yourself that is creating this anxiety, or it's creating this fear, or it's creating this perspective that life is not a inviting and growth-provoking event. that's working for you. You start giving that chakra conscious instructions about how you would like it to function. And chakra is a Sanskrit word that means spinning wheel. Our chakras are wheels of energy that spin. And when you simply concentrate on a green light in there and saying, I'm requesting that all stories, all energies that do not balance me with prime source be released, and you visualize a grounding cord coming out of the base of your spine into the center of the planet. The planet is designed to ground energy. And when you give your attention to feeling that grounding cord, and then you send specific instructions to an organ, to a body part, to a chakra, and saying, I give you permission to release energy, any energy that does not align me with prime source. That is the senior intelligence. Wherever your consciousness is going, that's where the energy goes. So when you're giving your attention to things about how things aren't going to work out for you, you're not sure if you can trust yourself, if you're going to make the right decision, that's where the energy in your body and your chakras go. It goes to reflect that's what you're giving your attention to. Because of this law, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So the more you're giving your attention to stories, how about you're not sure you can make the right decision, what if this snowballs and takes you out, you love being anxious. And I got to tell you, when you were sharing with me, the primary thing that I got, that you came here to the planet Earth to practice, James, and this is a biggie, it tells me that you're not a spiritual 101 kind of guy. It tells me you've been here before, because you're not allowed to work on big lessons if you haven't worked up to it, because the system is fair. That's the thing about divine love and wisdom. It's fair. And one of the things that you came here to really kick spiritual butt on, my friend, is this relationship with trust. And I want to frame this relationship with trust. This is huge. This is something I write a great deal about in my book, You Are What You Love, because this is absolutely pivotal, is this right relationship with trust. Because my favorite mystic is the 18th century Swedish mystic Emanuel Swedenborg. And I don't know if you've heard of him before, James?
Yeah, I have. I probably read him at some point. Yep.
Great. He was voted by Stanford University a few years ago to be one of the top three most brilliant people to have ever lived on the planet.
Most what? Was that for Shelley?
The top three most brilliant people.
Oh, brilliant. Okay.
Mm-hmm. To have ever drawn breath on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
He's in the Guinness Book of World Records for one of the largest IQs.
Mm-hmm.
And James, I could take the rest of our show just rattling off everything that he's invented, all his scientific achievements. But the thing that impressed me most about Emanuel Swedenborg wasn't his scientific achievements, because in the spiritual world, it's not what you do, it's why you do it. And what impressed me the most wasn't all the scientific achievements, but why he ventured that way and put himself in the way of becoming this great scientist inventor. And that's because he needed to know where the soul resided in the human experience. That's what he was after. And this is what he says, my love. Actually, my book, You Are What You Love, and You Love Whatever You Give Your Attention, stole that directly from Emanuel Swedenborg. I call him my boyfriend. I only steal from the best, James.
What was his era? His 1700s?
He was born in 1688, and he died in 1772.
Okay. So he had a long run here.
Yeah, he did, actually. For the 18th century, to live in your 80s, was not a common thing.
Right,
and,
right. I thought I was a little surprised at that, right?
And what he says, I find, is critical, and that's this. That he says that all neuroses, psychoses, fears, insecurities, anxieties, all of them are held together by one thing.
Would we say fear, perhaps?
we could put it under that umbrella. But I find a more effective, practical way, what does it mean in your everyday life, a more practical way to say it is this. It all boils down to you not remembering that you are divine love and wisdom. Right. That you are identifying with something else. You're identifying with the guy that can't pay his bills, the guy that can't trust his decisions, the guy that went through a divorce, the guy that can't get rid of 10 pounds, the guy that's going to get in the slowest moving lane on the freeway in the grocery store. Anytime you identify with anything that is limiting, and let's face it, anything that's not divine love and wisdom is limiting.
I'm with you, Vaishali. May I ask a little further? So let's say, given that a person has a realization of that, what do you do on a practical level of life?
The reason I ask is
because my view is, it may be skewed, but my view is that the society generally does not promote this. I'm talking about modern American society, at least. It's the only one I've ever lived in, so I can't say for other countries. It does not seem to promote identifying with the truth of what we are. That's not generally a part of the marketplace, to know that you're, whatever you want to call it, spirit or higher self or whatever. That doesn't seem to bring money, unless you corrupt it in some way and sell it, which I can't seem to do that thus far, and nor do I desire to do it, I don't know if my question is clear, but that's kind of one of my big issues.
And you're right, sweetheart. Choosing to identify with divine love and wisdom is a choice, and you have free will. And whether your culture chooses it or not has no effect or bearing on your ability to choose it at any given moment.
I agree with that. It just seems that it does, even though it doesn't affect your ability to choose it and the ultimate rightness of it, because I'm continuing to choose it. I'll probably go to my grave choosing it, because you've pegged a lot of things that are right. And I don't think this is the first time around. It's not 101 for me, and I could go much more into it, but I'm just keeping quiet to see how much insight you have, which is a pretty good point so far. What it does do, just being in what I consider not the most conducive context, it's good, and the challenges are good, keeps you on your toes, you got to be strong and so on and so on, that's great. But it makes you sort of pay a high price for being a little more aware. I don't know if that's just my misview of it, or if the universe really works like that. In other words, if you're further evolved or going higher, the challenges are so much deeper. I mean, big time. I haven't really gone into what they've been for me. I alluded a little bit to the health issues, but do you think that's the way it's supposed to be, or am I still doing or not doing something that's making it harder for myself than it needs to be? That's kind of my real question.
Okay.
Does it have to be this much of a trial, or am I making it more of a trial than it needs to be?
Good question, James. Timeless question. There's a great saying, the greater the student, the greater the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I want to say is that I was listening to your vernacular. How we language our reality is absolutely critical to how we experience our reality.
Right.
And I was noticing in your languaging that there was something in the equation that I saw not aligned with being in balance with prime source. And that's your languaging about money and about abundance, and that there's a certain amount of perverting of your integrity that you have to do in order to make money. And the first thing I want to say is this: you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. And if you want to love that story, you have free will to give your attention to that story until you decide there's nothing in it for you. Here's my story, James. My story is that my abundance is that I am a force of divine love right here, right now. And all of my abundance comes from prime source. It doesn't depend on my culture. It doesn't depend on my coworkers. It doesn't depend on the price of gasoline. It doesn't depend on a fashion statement. It doesn't depend on anything, because I recognize that my abundance comes from divine love and wisdom. That's my story. I'm sticking to it. And when I do that, I free myself from making it come through my culture, or making it come through a certain opening that my perspective has limited it to. Because when you decide that your abundance is that you are a force of divine love right here, right now, and that all of your abundance flows from prime source and from divine love and wisdom, tell me that it can't reach you. Tell me that it has to be perverted. Tell me that it's going to get bitch slapped by our culture. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Actually, I've had my moments of, relating to it, as you say. And on any given good day, I can still go there.
I would say that abundance doesn't need to be liberated, but I would say that your perspective on it does. Yes. And that how you relate to it, you know, that great line about John Lennon about it's not the world that needs freeing, it's you need to free your mind instead. And it boils right down to this with you, sweetheart. And when you understand that your value and your power and your worth is that you are divine love and wisdom, and no one and no thing on this planet can take that from you, and that you incarnated in this body, in this life, in this culture, in this time, because if you can stand here in this moment with everything that Madison Avenue is throwing at you, everything the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, the Libertarian Party, the Victoria's Secret Party, whatever it is, if you can stand here in the tsunami of everything that's getting thrown at you, and you can say, I can be love now. You are divine love and wisdom unconditionally. And that's what you came here to do, and that's what you came here to trust. And if you're not trusting that you are divine love and wisdom, your trust is misplaced. And when your trust is misplaced, the way that physiologically affects you from a spiritual point of view is it's going to raise your blood pressure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is this making sense, boyfriend?
Yeah, sure. I'm rendering too much unto Caesar.
Exactly.
Yeah, got it.
Give Caesar its due. Pay your taxes. You know, put gas in your car when you need it, but be love right now. Render unto God's what's God's. And what right. is giving God its due is claiming right. your divinity over the gyration of the temporal world. I want to let you know that the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe has said that your spirit guides and angels have been working on you energetically, and that you have the most fabulous aura, that she was seeing a lot of yellow and green and blue in it. And that she wanted to let you know, sweetheart, that she sends you her blessings.
Oh, thank her for me, or if she can hear me, thank you.
I will, sweetheart. And thank
you. Where are you based out of, Vishali?
I'm in, my bag of protoplasm is sitting in Naples, Florida right now.
Oh, Naples, Florida. I used to live in Tampa, not too far away.
Oh, a tampon, as I like to call it. Yes.
I was hoping you were out here on the West Coast, because I'm a little bit of a, now watch my languaging, prisoner here financially. Otherwise, I'd you know, go anywhere to try to connect with people that get it. You've impressed me with, I'm the major cynic from way back in terms of, you know, New Age and people not really being what they purport. But you've been showing me a little bit by this conversation that you at least are some of the real goods, you know. So I appreciate that when I hear it.
Put it this way, James, we're making your new story that you're enjoying the process of liberating yourself from all yeah. financial conditions because you're yeah. love, and that's what you came here to do.
Let me ask you this.
I just got a minute less, James. I want to let you know that I will be coming to Southern California in November. Please feel free, sweetheart, to call in next week or email me, V as in Violet, V at Purple V. Visit my website, Purple V. I've got some videos and some fun things. And
yeah, give me the whole website again thing. I'm not too up on it because I don't have a computer at home, but I can certainly do it from my friend's house. It's
Purple
V.
Purple is in the color purple.
Yes.
V is in Violet. V is in Vishali. PurpleV.com. That's all you got to remember.
Well, it is PurpleV.com. That's easy enough.
We're rocking, Angel. And thank you so much, James, for calling. JD, I'm sorry I didn't get to your call. You wanted to know where you're sabotaging your spiritual development. You're indulging yourself in being unhappy. Anywhere your mind takes you to an unhappy place, that's where you're sabotaging your spiritual development, because spiritual development does not happen in an emotionally unhappy place. I want to thank you all so much. I want to give a special thanks to my good friend, the Empress of the Known and Unknown Universe. Her name is Julia K. Cole. You can find her at namastebeloved.com. She has a radio show on Blog Talk Talk Radio. She rocks. Feel free to call me or email me, V as in Violet, V at purplev.com. I'll put you on my email blast that'll let you know where the different shows, the different personal appearances. I want to remind you all, next bat time, next week, I'm going to be in Seattle. Thursday, I'll be at Third Place Books. Then on Sunday, I'll be speaking to the Swedenborg Church. Feel free to join me, and you would learn more about that by going to the website, Purple, V as in Violet, V as in Very. And remember, today our theme is surrender. Surrendering what your intellect says, surrendering what your ego agenda is, and trusting that in this moment you are divine love. Everything is working for you. You came here to realize yourself as a force of love, and no one and no thing on this planet has more power than that. And until we do it again next week, without earthquakes, rock on, babies.
You've been listening to You Are What You Love with author Waishali. To order Waishali's book, You Are What You Love, or to schedule a private self-emergent session with Waishali, visit youarewhatyoulove.com. Thanks for joining us, and remember, you are what you love, and you love whatever you give your attention to. So love wisely.